Please kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the Sabbath day. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and with hearts that desire to cry out to yours. Please guide us on this path. Thank you for keeping your strong hedge of angels around us so that we don't wander on the path. And thank you for the gentle nudges that come from your Spirit every now and then to keep us going perfectly forward. Please bless everyone here in attendance, Father. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, even those that come against us and even those that are lost, especially those that are lost. And thank you for blessing us with the changing of the showbread and giving us opportunity to share these truths that you bless us with as many as you send our way. And we offer this prayer unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who's our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. The last few weeks, we covered God's will towards the condition of his people, the fact man cannot do it alone, how the truth changes the heart, what causes the blessings to increase, and how to be grafted into the divine, and even how sanctification affects the individual Christian, or how we're honored by God, and how to be unified with Christ, and how to allow his Spirit to move some of us into a more humble walk, and actually how the mind of Christ comes upon us, which in turn changes our outlook and attitude in life. Well, next, we must touch on how the will of God becomes our will, and how in that obedient walk we can be assured that our prayers are going to be answered. It says in John, or 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." It always amazes me when people say we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore because they were abolished at the cross. And if that's the case, why statements like this, years after the cross, it says if you keep the commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, that you're going to have your prayers answered. You know, for those of us that have been in this church for years, we have seen how some have been pulled away from the body of Christ by false preachers and worldly Christians who they sought guidance and wisdom from, and instead of looking to Christ first. In all the years that I've been a Christian, I have yet to see a single soul blessed with wisdom from the Lord from another person other than Christ. Now, yes, I understand the Romans 10:14 theology, wherein it says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? But the duty of a Christian is to only point people to Christ, not to take His place. And when the Christian is placed with a Christian friend, or blessed with a Christian friend, even here we must be as the Bereans of old did and double-check whatever that Christian says with the Word of God. I mean, it's your eternal life is at stake. It's a very dangerous thing to trust a mere man rather than the creator of that man. So, always insist on proof from the Bible. Never take any man's word for it when you ask them a biblical question. If they can't supply it, but you discern it is of God, even though that's not good enough. I mean, check it out for yourself before embracing it as a doctrine. For it is written in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This method of doctrinal education also prevents the babe in Christ from being lured into building a doctrine using only one verse in the Bible, and a lot of people do that today. This demonic theology, wherein the man seeks to stand above the Lord when speaking doctrine, was found first in Roman Catholicism and has spread to all denominations on earth since. It's been able to do so mostly due to the weak and lazy Christian who, once hearing the words of the preacher, chooses rather to hang on their every word instead of opening the Bible to assure those things being said in the pulpit are true. Because then you literally do hang on the man's word instead of embracing God's word. I mean, it is only wisdom from the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that man can rely on. In fact, it says in James chapter 1, verse 5-8, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we have seen our fair share of people that come in here like rudderless boats. And whatever pleases them or pleases the ear. I mean, they'll stay with the church for a while until someone else comes along and says, oh, you got to keep feast days, or the Sabbath has changed to a lunar Sabbath now, or whatever. There's so many strange doctrines out there now, and their only purpose is to pull the people away from the truth. And the devil's not stupid. You got to understand your enemy. He knows what a real Christian desires. And yeah, these people have zeal. They have a real desire to please the Lord. But if they don't decide to obey the Lord as it is written, the devil knows he's got a foothold there then. So, if you believe Jesus is Lord and you believe His word is truth, then you also believe that is the proper path to be on. A few verses later, it says in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The key here is, who do you really trust, or who do you really love, the creature or the creator? I mean, that's one of the amazing things. If you really do walk with the Lord, the temptations really have no power over you. I mean, we know what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The devil's not going to have any power there. Okay, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. He said, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." He can't be any plainer than that. I mean, he's covering it on three different angles here. I mean, you know, knock, seek, or knock, ask, and seek. But because we live in a sin-sick world, surrounded by lost souls that we often allow to direct our every move at times because they're friends or relatives or whatever, and when we go into prayer, we then lack the faith needed to realize the answers that he promises us. I mean, reason being is when you look to the Christian friend or the pastor or preacher or teacher for all your answers without going to Christ first, your faith is going to be directed more so to the man than to Christ, because man is where you're getting your education from. You're not getting it from Christ. You're always asking some man or some woman that you know is a strong Christian. Man's not God. Therefore, your prayers will not be answered as often because your faith is based solely upon the man instead of the creator of the man. And yes, as a babe in Christ, you can expect the soul to be a tad uneducated in this area, wherein telling them to pray or even open a Bible to get their answers may be difficult for them because they're novice. They're not well educated yet in the scriptures. They haven't gone through it cover to cover yet. But they got to start somewhere. And if they are ever to come to a place where prayer and Bible study actually does become a powerful instrument towards an increase in their faith, they have to start sooner or later someplace. And yeah, they're going to go to man more so than others because that's just natural, because sometimes some of us jump the gun. You know, and I remember when I was a young Christian, I didn't have anybody to ask these questions of. There just wasn't anybody out there that knew these answers. Because they were all Sunday keepers, or they were all, and I was a Sunday keeper at the time too, so, but still, I didn't really have any connections with any leaders in any churches. And so when I had a question, I would literally go into the scriptures and dig and dig and dig until I found it. And this is one of the reasons I like topical study, and this is one of the reasons I liked what I did on the street. People would ask me questions that sometimes, like, whoa, you know, I never heard that one before. And if I had the answer, fine, I'd give it to them from the Word, but if I didn't, I'd tell them I'd get back to them. Because now they gave me a question that I never thought to ask before, and I get to go into the Bible and dig again. If you are called to lead a babe in Christ into the habit of Bible study and prayer, you best make sure you don't convince them to rely on your opinion first. Else, you're going to be the one used by Satan to lure that babe into trusting man instead of the creator of man. And this is what Rome goes for. All the churches are, and I mean all the churches are doing it now. They, in fact, look at what some of the leaders in some of the churches that some of us have come from do when you ask a question, doctrinal question, that they know they can't answer because their statement of faith has stepped off the path of truth. They get upset with you, or they disfellowship you and kick you out of the church. They can't deal with it. Give the babe in Christ as much scripture as you can. In so doing, you bless them and prevent yourself from becoming more than you ought to become in the eyes of your fellow man. When the Christian witnesses an answered prayer, be it immediate or long-term, not only is their faith blessed and bolstered, they begin to understand the power of prayer. So this is the other toss of the coin, because we always say, you know, read your word and pray daily. And so when the babe in Christ comes to you and says, you know, yeah, of course they know they have to read the Bible, but some of them may not understand how important it is to pray. Tell them about David or Daniel praying three times a day. It is on that day, when they learn this, that their walk changes quite drastically for the rest of their life. At least that's how I remember it. After decades of witnessing the power of prayer, I now pray about everything, big or small. Not only does that teach me to walk closer to him and rely on him for my every step, it makes it far easier to reside as a pilgrim on this fallen world, awaiting his return with joy. And yes, this world is evil, and yes, it can be scary for most people, even the young in Christ. But when you learn to walk and pray with him day by day, as well as study the Bible and see how his prophetic word opens up to the future right before your eyes so clearly, you no longer fear what man or even the enemy of souls can do, because after witnessing so many prophetic events coming to fruition, one right after the other, in the exact order as his word proclaimed they would, you learn to trust him in every way a man can trust him, because you see that even Satan can't stop what's happening. He's powerless there. This is why he does everything he can to keep the people out of the Word of God. This is why you see the prophecy of the defiled bread come to fruition in our lifetime. How many different Bible translations are out there now, with thousands and thousands of Bible verses missing, because that book scares the daylights out of Beelzebub. He don't like it. And this is why you see so many corrupt preachers up there. He doesn't want them in it either, especially them. He wants them to do like the flock that follows after guys like Joel Osteen. Watch that guy, or listen to that guy, or emulate that guy, do what he says to do, or the Catholics. The Catholic Church actually goes so far as to say, emulate St. Stanislaus, or go after St. Blaise, or St. Therese, or whatever. They come up with all these people that you should emulate, but they never talk about Christ. And they uplift Mary as the Queen of Heaven, who, by the way, that title angers the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18, as well as in other areas. So those of you among us that are being called to lead, you know to not only fine-tune your walk to better visualize his hand upon you, you need to learn how to cooperate with heavenly angels in teaching men and women how to look to God as the source of their strength by testifying as to what he has shown you. And this is one of the reasons I love the work he has given me, because, and all the stupid stuff that I went through in my past, and he allows me to remember it. Because it gives me an opportunity to relate to a lot of different classes of people. And I could just tell them what he has shown me. And yes, mankind can be used of God to help introduce their fellow man to Christ, as well as better understand his word when the soul is young in the faith. But at the same time, they must teach them to seek the only one who truly understands their every weakness. Mankind can never attain such wisdom as it takes the ability to read the heart. And that is only possible for Christ Jesus our Lord. No man can read the heart. You may assume that you can figure out a person's reasons for doing what they're doing or being where they're at, but only Christ knows the heart. Like, I don't know how many times when I used to do the street thing years and years ago, I know a lot of these Baptist preachers, and they go up and says, come up to this guy who's, homeless, drinks a lot, and he talks about the dangers of alcohol. And I sit there and go, are you kidding me? You don't think he knows that? You got to figure out why he started drinking. This is everybody knows the dangers of alcohol, and it's not like you got to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. What got him to the bottle? What got him to become homeless? There's where you got to concentrate. The young in Christ need to learn that how to look to Jesus in prayer, look to him while studying his word, and with the promised increase in faith and wisdom, they must also learn to humble the soul before God and even wrestle in prayer from time to time like Jacob did when the need arises. Another blessing in all this is that after ample time walking and learning of Christ, we can learn how to live a life of constant self-denial and self-sacrifice as he did when he walked among us 2,000 years ago. I mean, the truth is, those who are to be in that number, who have learned to overcome self, will be those who surely learned to make Jesus Lord of their lives, to the point they practice the virtues of Christ. So as we look at all this dross or trash upon us right now, some of us may feel that that's an unattainable goal. That just ain't happening. But Jesus did say we can move mountains if we only had the faith the size of a mustard seed. And so again, not much effort of the man can be trusted, because it's all about Christ, who has faith as big as the mountain we hope to overcome in the first place. So common sense tells us, would it not be just smart to just let go and let God? I mean, that being said, what will our Lord and King do for those that love him enough to appropriately keep his word to the letter? John chapter 14, verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So do you want the peace that outshines anything mankind has to offer? Then read his word and believe it cover to cover and get on your knees at least three times a day. If not, you know, pray without ceasing, as Paul said. You'll get to that point too. They'll just become part of your life. Because then and only then can we expect all the blessings his word outlines for his obedient bride. The blessings are only put upon those that are obedient. When we do this, we stand with Christ in such a way that the world can see him in us and therefore be blessed to seek him out. It is the most solemn thing to represent the character of Christ to a fallen and sin-sick world. I mean, we have a great responsibility upon us. And even if you're sitting alone in your home and you're being tempted to do things all by yourself and no one is in the room, you know, like watching something on YouTube or something like that you shouldn't do, think about this. You have an understanding of the truth more than most people on this planet because you are part of a small remnant body of believers that prophecy said would come, you know, to share the final truths with the world in the last days. With that great responsibility means don't be messing up. Because if you want to be able to stand before the people and glorify Christ, he can't use you if you're still hanging with the flesh. So, understand, it is a solemn thing to represent the character of Christ. And wherever this is done, when you represent, you know, be it at home or school or work or even in the marketplace, I mean, there is a seed sown unto eternal life within the hearts of all that look on. Whether they believe it or not, you can still plant the seeds. And yes, the majority may never see Christ and end up as ashes under the soles of our feet on that dreadful day, but some will see Christ in us, and that's all that really matters. Now, do you see why Satan likes to use people to carry themselves in a way that represents sinfulness in the world? Some act as if it's no big thing to dress or act promiscuously. But if God can use the Christian to plant seeds in the hearts of complete strangers we simply walk past on the road, so can the enemy of souls use his people to plant seeds of death to lure more into sin. Just by getting them to wear something they shouldn't be wearing, or walk, or look, or act in a way they shouldn't. They don't even have to say a thing to get people to sin. In fact, as prophesied, the overwhelming majority of the world is already in the devil's camp today, right now, and as we all know, most are hard-pressed to even find a Christian nowadays. That means our duty is even more important, as we may be the only representative of Christ in the entire area that we reside in. And this is why we meet online, because seriously, I'm sure everybody here has tried it. My wife and I tried for 8 years to try to find a church that believed as we did, and it just, we couldn't find them. They're not out there. And if you don't believe that you could be the representative of Jesus Christ in a huge area, ask Lot when we get to heaven how many people were seeking to obey God in Sodom and Gomorrah. Both those cities were completely annihilated due to the fact that everyone in those cities were sinful exceedingly. Better yet, what about Noah and the state of the world in his day? The entire planet was in sin. There were only 8 obedient souls on that ark. So when you walk around in life, wherever the Lord has you, please understand your duty as a Christian, a sanctified child of God. This is especially true if you know you have not been able to find a single soul that believes as you do in your area. I mean, look around. This is why we're here, in a chat room. The other toss of the coin is this. If and when you do visit the cities or have to deal with the sinful masses at work or at school, keep in mind that whatever you may see others doing that the Holy Spirit convicts you as being inappropriate for a Christian, see to it, dear brothers and sisters, that you never do the same things yourself. We must never grieve the heart of our precious Savior, who died on the torturous cross for the sins we committed. Just keeping that in mind should make it easier to serve the Lord in meekness and lowliness of heart. Even if you're just plopped down in the middle of some place that's similar to Sodom and Gomorrah at your work or school. Or, well, the schools and the workplaces are more or less that way now anyway. Everything's, and thanks to the so-called Christian leaders, Sodom and Gomorrah is accepted, embraced, and brought right into the church now. As John 14:23 just stated a moment ago, if you love Jesus and keep his word, his Father will love and bless you with his Holy Spirit's presence in your heart. He loves you, and just as long as you will follow in his footsteps, in the footsteps of his Son, and let his Holy Spirit guide you, you're going to walk securely. It is absolutely essential that every soul that claims Christ Lord must make straight paths for his feet, just as John the Baptist warned so long ago. I mean, we're coming in the same spirit of Elijah that John did. We got to go out there and say more or less the same thing, make straight the path, right? And as I've said so often before, we may be the only Bible some people read. So if we carry ourselves in the same manner as the rest of the world does, those precious souls our Father knows that need to see Jesus in us may never get that chance again. Our sinful ways can actually cause the lame to be turned out of the way. It is a dreadful thing to give up and not walk with Christ, even for just a split moment, let's say. And then not give a dying soul an opportunity to see Christ in you, or actually give him a wrong example that leads that soul to a crooked path. All of us, saved or lost, are being judged as we speak, and soon the final decisions will be made in that judgment. It says in both Daniel and Revelation the following words. Daniel 7 verse 10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment seat was set. Or rather, the judgment was set and the books were opened. And in Revelation 20, verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Since we know judgment is upon every soul, whether they believe or not, wouldn't it make sense to do all we can to glorify the Lord? If we do as the Spirit leads, many souls may come to Christ and join us in eternal life. And no, we're not saved by works, but the works we perform may lead some to accept Jesus as Lord. So don't do as the Catholics or the Middle Eastern type religions do, wherein they cram as many good works into life as possible in the hopes of gaining heaven. We are called to do those good works to get as many souls interested as possible. Since we already have assurance of salvation, if we stay obedient, why not use this walk to help others gain that same salvation? Is this not the ultimate definition of being sanctified or set apart for a holy use? Would it not be a wonderful thing to discover when you get to heaven that you were specifically created to do exactly that? I mean, truth is, that's exactly why you were created. Therefore, walk accordingly. The Lord Jesus is rich in grace. Therefore, we need to learn how to draw constantly from him, so as to have an ample supply of his grace to help others. Since those in the army of hell are more numerous than those headed for eternal life, we have to understand that every turn the enemy of souls is going to employ every instrument of deception, using as much craftiness as he can muster to make his lies appear as truth, so as to combat that which we proclaim, and especially in our lifetime where evil is good and good is evil. But that fact alone proves we're going to be successful. How? Well, need I remind you of how outnumbered Gideon was on his day? Or perhaps the boy David that ran towards 9'2", Goliath, and all that. Everybody actually thought it was a suicide mission, I'm sure. When the odds are stacked that high against the child of God, it is then our God shines the most. So expect his hand to move in a way that every eye looking on will know you have been with Jesus Christ. Some may ask, what will the people of God do when the work must be done against all odds? Well, is there not a God in Israel? What about the walls of Jericho? Absolutely impregnable. Especially in their day with the technology they had. Is this not where our power resides in the God of Israel? Are we not Israel? Did not Gideon go in faith? Did not David run towards Goliath in faith? Those called in these last days to do this amazing work will do so with God literally at their side, and they will work in exact obedience to Christ's command while on the front lines. Some of us are going to do some amazing things. And thanks to the latter rain that falls upon us to ready us for this battle, we can do so in a way that will most assuredly bring many souls to Christ. I mean, after all, we can only stand with Christ because to do otherwise is death, and we know it. Therefore, we shall eventually come to a day wherein this sanctification rises to such a level, and Christ is so glorified that many are going to accept the truth as it flows from our obedient lips before the masses. And you got to know that it's going to amaze you what comes out of your mouth, because he's going to be speaking for you. He even said so. Don't rehearse in advance if you have to stand in front of the magistrates. Just let him speak. And yes, I say masses because many of us will see many come to know him as Savior by what we share when that latter rain falls more abundantly. And even after we see his hand move right before our eyes, and even though some of us may have decades of experiences to draw on that proves him to be a loving and powerful God, the bride of Christ will never, still never, fold their hands in security and say, yeah, I'm rich and increased in goods and in need of nothing. Because being followers of Christ, we do not base our current faith on past experiences, because we know that at any time we can step off the path and never reach the pinnacle of faith that we've been striving onto for decades. Even if you are one day called to be in that number, you know full well that placing your faith in your own blessings and experiences of the past can be used by the enemy to cause you to fall. So take Paul's inspired advice found in 1 Corinthians 10:12, which says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest you fall. So many Christians today base their faith on experience of meeting Christ last month or last year or decades ago as if it's an assured position of their heaven-bound reward. I recall many years ago when I was part of a church family that stood up for Jesus every week at the end of the weekly sermon, that some in the church would repeat what happened to them many years ago. And for my children that are listening now, you know who I'm, you know, you were there, you saw it. If the Lord's hand was not apparent in their lives every day or at least every week, then that soul needs to get back on their knees to ask the Lord how they can get back on that path that leads to his open arms wherein all those blessings reside and are visible on a daily basis. When we walk closely with him, the condition of the Christian changes boldly, because Romans 8:10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Basic scriptural fact is, Psalm 119:172 says, all thy commandments are righteous. Therefore, keeping his law keeps us close to his heart. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. One of the easiest ways to see his Holy Spirit upon us when our hearts and minds are changed to the point we love to keep his law is keeping it. I mean, for it's written in 16:12 or 16:13 of the book of John, howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I mean, do you want to see how his Spirit has already guided you towards sanctification? How many of us here used to be Sunday keepers or members of a church that claimed to keep the law but were in apostasy? All of us, right? Why did we leave? Was it our own flesh moving us to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, as Revelation 14:4 said the bride's going to do? No. It wasn't our flesh at all, because the flesh always clamors after sin. It was the Holy Spirit in us that led us out of Babylon, because being those that are not defiled by those fallen churches, or women, as the prophecy says in Revelation, we can only follow the light of truth because the Holy Spirit within us knows that to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. We all know Isaiah 8:20. And if there's no light from heaven in those churches, the Holy Spirit will gently guide us out of Babylon, just as he promised he would in Revelation 18, verses 1-5. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our God will not be mocked if we claim His Son as Lord, really Lord. Then disobeying His law would openly soil the image of the Lord in the eyes of all that look on, and we know this. This is why Christianity is such a mess today. Most that claim Jesus Lord really don't love Him enough to obey His law at all. In so doing, the rest of the world sees how weak these Christians are and judge them accordingly. Whenever a trial comes upon them, they get angry, just as the wicked do. Whenever the flesh is enticed by the opposite sex, they go for it. The weak Christians, you know, they bow to the sin as does every other person in the world. In fact, the weak Christians, you know, they don't look any different from the rest of the world. They hang out in the bars, they go to Hollywood movies, they drink, they frequent parties, they gamble on sports, it's just no different. And when they have a difficult time in life and they cry out to the Lord, like the rest of the world, nothing comes of their prayer. Their prayer is an abomination to the Father because they don't obey. The end result of offering only lip service to God is that the one claiming Christ Lord is just as weak and sinful as the rest of the world. Their persistence in wrongdoing has declared unto the Lord their true love is their own flesh and the world they reside in. This type of Christianity has flourished in the last few decades alone, and as expected, it has lured countless souls into a lukewarm state just as prophecy said it would. Why is it, I ask, when the Christians trapped in the world see the wisdom behind bowing to their employer's every whim so as to appear worthy for the promotion in his eyes? I mean, that always amazes me. A person claiming to be a Christian will do everything they can, even if it's sinful, even if at the same time, you know, like transgressing the law of God, that they claim lords over them. They'll do it to please their boss so as to assure job security and hopefully get that promotion. So many will lie for their boss or manipulate fellow employees so as to benefit the boss and even work on the eternally blessed Sabbath day, all so they can impress the boss that they now have chosen to worship. Because that is true worship. The bottom line is, Jesus magnified the law when He walked among us. We too must do as He did, even if it costs us our jobs here on earth. And I don't say that without my own experience of being unemployed for 16 straight months due to my refusal to work on Sabbath when I first found out about the Sabbath. Being sanctified or set apart to do our Father's will for the benefit of the lost souls He places us near is a necessity even in the workplace. For example, when the Christian decides to deny a promotion or even lose the job itself after the boss asks us to do something we know goes against our God, what if that very act is the Lord's choice for watering the seed that was already planted in the heart of that boss by a previous child of God many years earlier? Your obedience is going to be the tipping point that allows for the seed to be watered more so than it's ever been before. What if God chose you to get that employer to see how important His law was, and then your obedient act causes that boss to drop to his knees in repentance and accept Jesus Christ as his true Lord and Savior? And by the way, this doesn't only happen to employers. What if your best friend, coworker, classmate, or even your own sibling, parent, or spouse were on the verge of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, and the God of heaven chose you on a specific day to stand up for Jesus in a way you may have felt was difficult, but because you obeyed and did it anyway, you witnessed the power of God upon the heart of your loved one to where he or she gained Jesus as Lord and Savior. Do you really want to bypass such a blessing for them or even for yourself? Yes, you too are going to be blessed for it, because it's written in Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And not only the blessing of wisdom will be granted, you will receive a star within the crown Christ places upon your head, that when you meet him face to face, you'll be able to place at his feet. For it is written in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us last night, too. And thank you for blessing us with the remainder of this Sabbath and this week, so that we can come together, all of us, and worship you on Sabbath next week, too. Thank you for blessing the work and the workers that are out there spreading the word. And thank you for blessing us all with your Holy Spirit to guide our tongues and bridle our tongues and even our walks and our actions, even our facial expressions, so that we can share Christ with more people, so that we can go home. We're kind of tired of being here, but we'll do whatever you ask us to do. We're okay with that. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, Father, as you always do. And thank you for the answered prayers that we saw, especially all the ones that were mentioned last night, and the praises, especially the healings. It's amazing how you're doing that. And please bless everyone that's associated with everybody that's part of this church family that haven't found the truth yet, because we may be the only ones that are praying for them. And so, Father, bless them. Bring them to repentance, so that they can be part of the church family. Because we love them and love them dearly. And even the ones that come against us, we love them too. And please bless them. And the sick as well. And our children and their children. And again, we uplift this prayer to you, Father, to the best of our ability, which falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I want to have this on the recording, so for the people that listen, you know, tomorrow or the next day or whatever, maybe I should put a... I kind of want to keep this private in the church family, or, you know, the people that come here. Brother Mark and I are working on something in regards to convocations. I have built a form on the server that we're, like, if you want to come to a convocation in the year 2015 and meet your brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a form on the site. Let me get it, dig it up again, because, and it's been repaired. There were some things missing on there. All I had to do was just fix it. It wasn't that hard. It was, hold on a second. I changed my email inside the server, so it's not accepting it as a password anymore. Let's see if that works. Okay, good. It worked. All right. Let me get the actual form link here. And again, this is not on the website yet. All right, because I, you know, this... Oh, thank you, Scott. Scott just put it in the room. I'm pretty sure that's the same one. Yep, 12731. Yeah, and so... Yeah, that form's going to ask some questions like, you know, put in today's date and stuff like that. And but for those of you listening on this sermon and a recording, just send me an email if you want this form, okay? Because I know I can't put the link. It's just the link is too long to put in there. So, but yeah, it's more or less lets us know where you're at and how many are in your area. And how much notice you need in advance, and when's the best time of the week, like in the middle of the week or the weekend or whatever, and how many days you would like to do, you know, just all, you'll see it. And because we want to gather and meet the brethren, and probably in mid-March, we're thinking like, well, I don't even know where we're going to do it yet, the first one, because we're going to try and figure out where most of the people want to go. And I know we have some baptisms we have to do. Sister Mindy, in fact, is one of them. And so we got some areas already kind of like highlighted. And so we gotta get that done first. I want to get in that area first. You know, get the... Because Sister Mindy's been waiting a while, so I kind of want to jump on that one. And we're even thinking of doing a small gathering in Kentucky before winter gets here. But we... I don't know who all wants to go yet, and so... We're trying to figure that out as well, because Brother Stefan is going to be going back to his native country, and we wanted to see him one more time before he goes. Or maybe he'd just come to our house, who knows, and we can have everybody come here that we had come to the campgrounds or that we went last month. But anyway, yeah, so for those of you listening on the recording, if you want to be, you know, want to join us in a convocation, send me off an email through the website, and... depending upon when you get this recording, my email may change because of the spam attacks and stuff like that. And so just go to the Contact Us page on the remnantofgod.org. And thank you for listening. God bless.